New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, kiddies. This is your Ghoulie, the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio with the host Mikey Bones, Rob Humphrey, and Catful War. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. What's going on, buttholes?
Why are you
going to do that? I respond kindly to being called a butthole.
That's what you guys get. Yeah. I'm starting it off. Because you know what? I've been editing the show and everything, and I noticed that I'll start the show acting all nice. How is everybody? And I get some bullshit. So I'm starting the bullshit.
That's rude, and I don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. What bullshit have I ever started?
Yeah, what bullshit did I ever start?
This show is all bullshit at this point. All right, it's just none of the bullshit. All right, we are here with the second half of our yearly holiday battle with the patrons.
The climax of the Christmas.
I told you, because of the bullshit you guys pulled. See, speaking of bullshit, the bullshit you guys pulled on the Patreon show we just got done recording, that I had a little extra smoke session in protest, so you guys start with me making me work now.
Well, don't make us sound bad to the listeners. We didn't do anything that was not well called for on the Patreon show.
Yeah, it was perfectly reasonable decisions being made over there.
Patreon.com/radio. Christmas horror was murdered tonight. I'm just going to leave it at that. The travesties were made. We got a loaded show. We're going to get with our, aka Robin Katz, pick for our...
No. You don't get to complain because you said pick whatever you guys want. I don't care.
I did, but I just wanted to let everybody know this was not like my choice. Like, I didn't put this forward. I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter because this, for the first year ever, we're going to win this son of a bitch.
We are going to win this. And we have risked making patrons mad to win this. And also, if we do win, I might have to make a small concession speech, but it's going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it. We got to watch a great movie today.
Yep. We came out on top of this, guys.
Merry Christmas to us.
And now, I'm a little upset with the patrons because no one nominated Santa Slay starring WWE superstar Bill Goldberg. That would have been the easy win for them. That's the way you do it. It would have been the easy win for us, but we had an ace up our sleeve that we've been holding on to for about a year.
About a year, yeah.
Yeah. So we delivered that, and I'm pretty confident that we're going to win this thing. Although I don't remember what the score is we have to beat.
Yeah, Mikey's a wild card. Yeah. But
I'm sure we'll get into the scores at the end, so...
What we're referring to is our yearly Christmas battle we have with the patrons. They pick a holiday horror movie. We pick a holiday horror movie. And we just can't seem to win this sumbitch. We just can't. So, yeah, you guys decided to put this movie up against Terrifier 3.
We also, there's a parallel universe where we're talking about Hot Frosty this week.
Yeah.
And it's a good place, guys.
I still don't know what that is.
I sent the poster in the chat, in the group chat, last night, so you could see it.
I don't remember.
Oh, well, anyway, Mikey had apparently never heard of Hot Frosty and was just going along with it.
I told them, you guys figure it out. I knew they had a movie they wanted to do. I didn't know if they really wanted to do it. So if they really wanted to do it, like, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to win anyway. So I just let it happen. Yeah, they almost tricked me into watching the damn Hallmark movie.
It would have been so funny.
All right, so we're going to be talking about The Brain later on. That's our movie topic. We have drink roll call to get to, which I am very excited about. And we also have listener mailbag read by Ghostface. Also worth mentioning before we get into any of that, next week, David Howard Thornton back on the show, talking Terrifier 3, Screamboat Willie. all kinds of shit. Art Clown himself back on the show. Halloween takes also brought up.
Yeah. You had to get that in there, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah. It was a fun chat, though, with David. It was a good time.
Great guest to have on.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure to talk to.
Yeah. And we say what we say about the, you know, we have our views on these movies, love, hate, everything in between. But we all fall on these movies are very good for the genre. We respect the fuck out of what they do. And on top of it, David Howard Thornton just isolated. Dude, he's a god, a horror god right now, like modern day. You know, like kind of he's approaching that as far as just what he's able to do on screen. You know, like the dude is really making some shit happen.
I think it's fair to say the most critical of those movies on the show, but I've never said a bad word about his work in the films. I was just going to say
across the board, we always talk about his performance being the best part of the movie.
And how much we respect what they're doing for the genre, just general.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
And not just the genre, but I mean, at this point, just independent films in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That way. So that's the thing. It's kind of that it's that franchise you love to hate at this point, or you hate to love, or whatever it is, in that aspect, at least, unless you're talking to Greg.
Even Greg admitted. That's a special person to talk to.
Greg admitted that he liked the third one more than the other two.
Really? I haven't talked to him about the third one yet.
Yeah. I didn't get like a score from him or anything. None of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much, but he did say it was better.
Hey, good night. Darth Greger on TikTok. All right. Drink roll call. I am super excited. What are you guys drinking? I did something great.
What did you do?
You guys go first. This special.
Sounds like it's going to be awful. I filled up a 32 ounce cup with Diet Pepsi and rum, and I've been drinking that. And it's getting close to empty, which means I'm going to have to refill it soon.
Oh, on the sex tape in this movie. Kat, what about you?
I am really, really excited. I'm actually recording this from my friend's place. So I got to raid his fridge for like whatever kind of alcohol there was. I told him about Drink Roll Call Graveyard. He was like, I don't really have anything like that, but I do have just miscellaneous leftover liquor. And it's like, that's exactly the thing that I just described. How fortunate. And I was going to pick the weirdest thing like that I hadn't heard of, but then I found margarita in a can.
Ooh,
I'm drinking cold water.
Oh,
I wish I had my buttons working. That's a horn right there. Wow. Okay. How many? Just one or?
I found two. I found a margarita in a can and I found mango margarita in a can.
Oh, shit.
I haven't tried mango margarita.
I haven't yet either. So
nice. That's a win. Cat's going to be spicy.
What kind of nightmare are you drinking over there, Mikey?
It's not a nightmare, dude. This thing, you're going to be proud of me, Rob. Come on. Okay, hold on. I'm going to send you guys the picture. Hold on. I have to look up the name. I forget the exact name. I forgot about the name. All right, you're going to be disappointed in me, but I feel Rob's going to be very disappointed in me. And then he's going to see what I did, and I feel like he's going to be proud of me. All right?
Okay.
Rob, this drink is called the Mistletoe Kiss.
God damn it. What the hell, man? What's wrong with you?
About the name. I was looking up. I wanted to make a festive drink, man. I'm going to try and get this episode out on Christmas because, you know, Christmas movies right after. I mean, I guess it's Thursday, the day or whatever. I'm going to try and have it out a day early. So Merry Christmas, everybody. You filthy animals.
Merry Christmas.
I was looking through the internet because I don't know any, you know, Christmas drinks. And I found this. And I feel like I did a really good job. Look at that.
Look at that.
Look at that, right?
That is gorgeous.
That's a very nice drink. That is a very nice drink.
And this is what it's supposed to look like. So I don't think I did bad here, man.
No, you did great.
No, yeah. Right?
I made my own simple syrup.
Oh, nice.
From scratch.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
For this drink. I made rosemary simple syrup, which is an ingredient. It has cranberries as like kind of a garnish, rosemary.
What's that tree in there?
Rosemary.
Okay.
And it's also got vodka in it, and it's supposed to have club soda, but I substituted it for Sprite because there's also lemon juice.
All right.
Bro, this thing is good.
It's a good looking drink. How's it taste? Tastes all right?
Like, oh, yeah, I did a hell of a job here.
I mean, name aside, it's a good looking drink.
All right. Yeah. Very elegant. Very Christmassy. Yeah. Very demure.
Very nice. Very nice. It looks like, I mean, it's a real nice. It looks like, you know, you go to one of those like Christmas pop-up bars and this is one of the specialty cocktails they would have.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Christmas pop-up bars, that's why I'm recording at my friend's. There's a pop-up bar today in Cleveland.
At his house?
No, but like I didn't want to drive all the way back.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right. Hell of a deal all the way around.
Yeah.
Rob's just like getting dirty drunk. Cat's over there, margarita in a can, and I am elegant.
Not only am I just drinking Diet Pepsi and spiced rum, I'm drinking it out of a plastic cup that I bought at the ballpark.
Oh,
you know, you get the souvenir cup when you go, you get a big, large drink and they put it in like a souvenir cup and charge you $50 for it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You're officially a redneck now. I hope drinking you know right that. That.
I don't even give a shit.
All right. Okay. 917-397-KILL. That's 917-397-5455. You can leave a text message, voicemail for the show. You can also sign up to Patreon because the voicemail text message segment kind of turned into a little bit of a mailbag thanks to the patrons. I'm not saying this is good for us. I'm just saying that's what's happened. And it is kind of fun to, you know, go through a couple of these, right?
Sure. Yeah.
It's interactive.
It is, and it makes the show easier on us, so. We do want to hear what you guys think. Sign up for the Patreon or the number I just gave. I'm not doing it again. My brain's only trained to remember it twice a week. That's it. We're good till next week. Here we go.
Hello, hosts and listeners, and Merry Christmas. Ghostface here with some messages from the mailbag. First up is a text message from Aggie. She writes, "Sorry I'm a couple weeks late saying this. Between busting Mikey's balls as often as possible, gaming with my besties, and saving lives at work, I tend to run a week behind on listening to the episodes."
All right, Egg.
"But Robert, what the actual hell? How can you say you could care less about any of the characters in Black Friday? They had a lot more development than anyone in Graveyard Shark. Sorry, Tasha. And even some growth throughout the movie. At least Kat gave the movie a chance and credit where it was deserved. You just dogged on it from the get and didn't even give it props for some cool effects and the few funny moments it did have. I swear to God, if you dog on Terrifier 3 as well, I'm going to lose it, Rob. And I'm going to stop wearing my Crocs to work so I can stop thinking about how angry you're making me with your bad reviews."
Damn.
Wow. Stop wearing the Crocs anyway.
No, yeah, listen, Aggie, if you stop wearing those Crocs to work, you're not going to make as good a time down the hallway because your feet's not going to be as comfortable and somebody is going to die and that's not cool.
While you're playing Among Us.
Yes, while you're playing Among Us at work. Because come on. But listen, I gave Black Friday exactly as much credit as it deserved.
They didn't.
I did. Absolutely. 100% bad movie. Terrible movie. Awful pick.
Look, I'm not saying it deserved like a ton more, but you were a little, you were way, way far in the wrong direction on that one.
Bad movie. Bad movie. I said it before. It is a movie so bad, even Bruce Campbell couldn't save it.
Nah,
that man bullshit. Can save anything. And as far as Terrifier 3 goes, well, I said what I said.
Yeah, that's out already. Why not? I don't feel like you dogged it. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. Like, I liked that movie, I thought, more than Cat until we scored it.
It's just so easy to talk about the stuff that sucks. Like, I get worked up.
Yeah.
And also, so I have a conspiracy theory. Can we have a conspiracy corner?
Sure.
I think I was going to say, because Margarita in a can is going to have a conspiracy corner, whether you guys agree or not. It's happening. I think that Mikey manufactures hot takes to get me wound up about stuff. Just in general, I think it's like, you got me all wound up about Terrifier 3. I don't even remember what you said, but it's like that every week where I come in and it's like, I'm going to be nice and normal about this. And then you're like, Black Friday, better social commentary than Shaun of the Dead. And suddenly I hate Black Friday. And that's not like a real opinion that I have about it. That's not reflected in my score. You wind me up. You're riling me up for the show.
I will say that hate is misdirected. Don't steer that hate towards Black Friday. Steer it where it belongs and hate Mikey.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, for real. I did stop it a little too soon. There is a little bit more for Maggie.
Oh,
and then we'll get into the other message.
For once, I have to thank Mikey for having my Bettel and not Mikey. Trashing my movie like you. And I hope you continue to have the days you deserve until you think about what you've done. And you start to rate these actual decent movies better.
God damn.
The days you deserve, huh?
Well, you're going to be real mad when Power Ranking Time comes around there, Aggie.
I don't know if I should say this, but I think Aggie mentioned, I don't know if she made a decision. Aggie mentioned she might just fire for the bottom. She mentioned it.
We'll
and I think it was after, it was one night after you didn't want to play Among Us with us. So using your power rankings against you for a change.
They're using it against me. The power rankings are what the power rankings are. It's out of my control.
Okay. Let's see what else is in the mailbag.
The next message is from Will the Thrill on Patreon, commenting on last week's Terrifier 3 episode. The Thrill writes, all I remember from Terrifier 3 is the blonde girl was hot and Art being offended by her not wanting to bone funny as fuck.
Is that it? That's the whole thing?
That's Will's whole message.
Thanks for that contribution, Will. It's very meaningful. really carries the conversation forward. Really appreciate that, buddy. Good job.
You little freak.
Yeah, you little freak.
He's not wrong, though. And we mentioned that scene a couple times. Even we already talked to David for next week's episode. But even when we talked to him, it was a funny point, you know,
a very funny point in the movie. Very great Art moment.
And he did that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. There is that. And he's not. I mean, that girl was hot, but I mean, come on.
Also Will. Hot.
What the fuck are we doing here?
All right. Good job, Will.
The next message is from Carly, also commenting on last week's Terrifier 3 episode. Carly writes, I have tried so hard to like Terrifier. I've watched T1 and T2 like 5 times each, and I just don't it. And I want to like it so bad, but they just don't click for me. T2 and T3 are okay in my opinion, but I truly haven't understood the hype around the franchise. All that said, I wish Terrifier 4 would be set on St. Patrick's Day, if for no reason other than to see Art in shamrock glasses.
Okay.
All right, Carly, I'm with you. 100%. I'm with you. I've seen Terrifier 2 more than anybody I know, and it still sucks.
More than several of us combined.
I forgot Carly was an anti-Terrifier from interactions on Twitter. I like Carly
on the right side of history, yeah.
She posts a lot of cool shit, and she's from comments and all that stuff before. She obviously knows her shit in horror, and we enjoy hearing from Carly and her opinions on this stuff. I did forget about the Terrifier thing. Carly, I do not like how closely a good amount of your opinions align with Rob.
I see no problems, Carly. I think you're doing just fine.
This is happening a lot. I see a pattern here, and I don't like the road you're going down, and I'm saying this because I care. You don't want Robitis. I don't have to wear my balls button, but it's not good.
Although we can't, you can't call them T1 and T2 and T3 because T2 throws me off.
Terminator, right?
Yeah. When I hear T2, immediately I think of Judgment Day.
What if Terrifier 2 was like Art the Clown's term?
No, it wasn't.
But what if it was?
Because T2 is really good.
No, I'm saying like if they really made him kind of look like Terminator, like the robot, kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, man. I mean, if someone isn't crazy about Terrifier 1 and Terrifier 2, like, I don't expect 3 to win them over.
I thought it was the best one.
Yeah, but you're still like, it didn't win you over or nothing.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's let's say it's good. It's
see?
It's a fine movie.
See? That's my point. All right, we got a little bit more, a couple more things in here.
The next message is from Tasha, the potato thief, commenting on last week's Gabagoolie Mystery Corner post on Patreon. Tasha writes, first Mikey sends pictures of his lunch for the Mystery Corner, and now his Christmas tree.
God damn it.
She's not wrong. I mean, you know, your lunch, though, that was a good one.
First, I never sent in my lunch to the Gabagoolie Mystery Corner, think by you the
did.
Way.
I sent
people who I thought were my friends something that I thought looked good, and I'd be like, hey, look, foodie. Like we do every now and then. And yeah.
Why don't we do that anymore? We should do that more.
It kind of stopped. It came to a grinding halt, didn't it?
Yeah, and the last time I sent something not to you guys, it got leaked to you guys.
Okay. I feel a little bit bad about the pasta pizza thing sometimes, but on the other hand, it was a pasta pizza.
Right? I mean, come on. That's like, come on.
That's and so a meatball funny.
Taco. I mean, what are you doing?
I didn't send you guys the meatball taco. There's a reason for that. It was very unfortunate that that happened. But I mean, yeah, Tasha, God damn it. See, Tasha, take notes. Look at Carly, look at Will. Maybe not so much for Maggie. She was a little mean about it. But still, like, take notes of what's going on.
Listen, not so much from Will either. I mean, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, Will was usually a little, but Will's usually on point with just the messages.
Pay attention to Carly. Carly's got it. I don't know what the hell everybody else is doing here.
Will a little off this week. Well, for the most part, you know what I'm saying? Okay, we got a little bit more.
The next and final comment serves from the Ring conclusion video on the page. Chris writes, the perfect trivia challenge from the most perfect and sexiest game announcer in all of Twitch game shows. Tasha also commented saying, kudos to Will for those characters.
Okay. Yeah, the Ring challenge happened. I feel like that was going to get brought up here today, kind of apropos that it was mentioned in the comments. Screw you, Tasha, once again, for the characters. She's referring to the Italian thing in there for me.
What Italian thing?
Thing that was on the screen is my little PNG thing for the
oh, yeah, that's screen. Good. That looks good. Looks just like you.
I hate it here. Is that being addressed, the Twitter storm, or no?
Yeah.
I only bring it up because I know you mentioned some things would be addressed. Do we do it here, later? What are we doing?
There's a portion that needs to be addressed later.
Okay, fair.
Because the wrath of IR Chris is very often dependent on how the show goes. So we might or might not need to circle back around to this. In a quick summary, we almost had a second full year of revenge picks. I volunteered. I want it on the record. I volunteered to take the bullet for the Ring trivia thing if it would not lock Chris into another year of being spiteful to the hosts. And he said that the counter offer that he gave me was to take the Ring bullet and then forfeit my next pick so that one of you guys could also take a Ring bullet. Rob stopped the chain, which I'm very appreciative for. But I do want it kind of on the record that I didn't just like shoot you guys for no reason, I guess. Because even though I like winding IR Chris up sometimes, I don't want to lock him into another full year of, you know, antagonizing anybody.
I love how it's kind of proportioned of hosts in plural and anybody, which is ambiguous, when it's really me that he's been shoving a stick up for now, the past year.
You keep saying that, but we had to watch those fucking movies too, Mikey. Come on.
Agreed, but he was really trying to stick it. I was the target.
You didn't take any more punishment than Kat and I did. Not a bit more than Kat and I did all throughout the year. We had to watch all those movies too.
Kat liked two of those movies.
Yeah, but I had to watch them.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Me and you suffered through those movies.
And yes. Now here I am, like a man. I stood up and told Chris, "Fucking take your shot. I'll take it for the team."
I'll give you that. Yeah, you did that. You did that.
And I was trying to do the same thing. I'm just trying to put one of you guys with me. But for the record, I had good intentions when I threw you guys under the bus. So
I'm finally sitting here, able to sip my what was it, mistletoe kiss or whatever. I'm sipping my mistletoe kiss. I don't feel bad for either one of you. This is what you get. Both of you.
I don't know, but you keep playing the victim like it was so bad for you all year. Like we didn't have to watch those fucking movies too. Come on.
I was the target though.
Doesn't matter. We still had to damage watch them.
You're right. Splash damage understood. But it was still me. I was still getting tagged in fucking Ring tweets. Everywhere I went and on Discord too.
And you could have ended it anytime you wanted too. That's the other thing.
It wasn't fully dependent on me.
Oh, that is kind of true.
It was not fully dependent on me. I was not able to sit there and talk about the Ring.
You could end it, but guess who's going to step up and do it like the man I am?
I'm just saying, I don't feel bad. It's nice to be on this side for one time. So I'm going to enjoy it. This is what you guys get. All right. I got to hit my button, don't I?
Yes, please hit the button. How many memes do you get today?
One. That's how this works.
It's Christmas.
Oh, so zero. That's how that should work.
Well, no. I said you wouldn't have to take any this year, this episode, if you were willing to take four last week and you didn't do it. You took one. So I feel like maybe you should get three.
Well, why you should did I get say the- that you were going to hold one.
Oh, yeah, I need to hold one
for the killing tree.
Occasion.
Yeah. So I would hold one. So I think we do two.
Okay.
On my that birthday, I don't get any. How come on Christmas I get two?
Well, I mean, I think you'll understand when you see them.
It's not just Christmas for really you. Good. It's Christmas for everybody, Mikey.
Patreon.com/radio. Get to see the memes. This is the Gobbledygook Mystery Corner where our listeners anonymously send in Italian memes, make fun of me for being Italian. There's no other, like, there's no hard Italian here or anything like that. This is just some bubble things that they do. I try my best to describe them on the show. As I mentioned, the memes go up on Patreon.
You'll appreciate this one, Mikey.
Yeah, this is a good one.
You like this.
This is fucked up. It's a kid sitting in front of a Christmas tree. Pretty naked Christmas tree, if we're being honest. And he looks all sad. Got a nice little haircut. But he looks all sad. And he's holding Olive Garden something, like a box of Olive Garden. And the meme says, bad Italian kids get Olive Garden gift cards instead of coal for Christmas. Hey, look, Olive Garden is really good food. I don't give a shit. The shit that Olive Garden gets is absurd to me when Taco Bell's as popular as it is.
Ooh.
Right or wrong?
Ooh, ooh.
Taco I like Bell's some Taco good, Bell.
Yeah. Taco Bell's bomb. No shade on Taco Bell, yeah. But it's not authentic Mexican food. Since when do we care here in America?
Well, I will give you that, but I do like to tell my Mexican-American friends that I'm getting some authentic Mexican food and then order Taco Bell.
But you're being a dick about it.
Yeah, it goes over real well. Look, I am with you on that train, Mikey. Appreciate Olive Garden. I like it. I think it's good stuff, you know, and they have that Italian margarita, which is fantastic.
Stuff mushrooms will knock your balls off, Rob, I'm telling you.
But I understand, but the meme is still funny.
That's not stupid.
Here's the thing is that I don't like Olive Garden so much, but I do really like their desserts. Like if I got Olive Garden gift cards, I'd be having so much tiramisu. But also I'm not Italian, so, you know.
They did take the manicotti off the menu years ago, which was a fucking mistake.
But Olive Garden never came out and was like real authentic. Like they never said that. They just said, hey, we're going to make affordable Italian food in like, you know, an Applebee's style TGI, but like it's just a regular ad. Like, I don't see the problem here. They make good food.
I believe what they said is when you're here, your family.
It's fine. It's a slogan. Bada ba ba and all that shit. All right. Am I getting two?
I almost don't want to give you the second one because of the ba ba thing. But yeah, I do already have it loaded. So
I think what Italian kids get for Christmas is memes, actually.
Yeah, they do. They sure fucking do. I don't know what I did. Like, what kind of Italian hell purgatory I'm in.
All right, I'm not gonna lie, you're not gonna like this one as much, Mikey.
The first
I don't like the first one at all. Holy shit. Okay. Wow.
Well, you didn't like it when I sent the nice one, so
you know, like do you guys ever sit and think about how disrespectful this all is?
Not really.
Like, this is crazy that I'm sitting here right now in my house looking at this shit. At 1:30 in the morning, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's the capiche hands with a little mini Santa hat on it. Italians at Christmas. This is like, who found that little baby Santa hat and thought, you know what I'm going to do with it? You know?
I wish it was me.
Yeah, so this was my favorite one, but I got a whole new slew of Italian Christmas memes this year. This was my favorite one, and I didn't think I'd be able to save it for a full year. The other one that I sent today has been in the folder for over a year, so I felt like it really needed to come out of the folder.
You know, you just hit delete, and it's out of the folder all the same.
I know, because I have to sometimes.
Good. Thank God.
We've talked about this. I know that you don't agree with where I have drawn the line, but there is a line that has been drawn.
I feel like we need to renegotiate that line a little just a couple feet or miles, whichever.
You know, the thing is that like when this was still a new segment on the show way back when, I told you guys, I was like, listen, there's one that I don't think I should send. And your immediate reaction, both of you, was like, well, we've got to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something like that. Yeah.
That moved the line.
Although we finally reached one this year that we couldn't even. Yeah,
we had to be bleeped.
Bleeped the whole segment.
Oh, my God. Merry
Christmas.
I don't
know what to say. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Mikey.
Ho, ho, ho. Dominic the Donkey, Rob.
I know. I actually looked to see if there was a Dominic the Donkey Christmas special that we could watch for this year, but turns out there's not.
Like a horror Dominic the Donkey?
No, I was just looking for anything. Yeah, it took me a while. I Googled Gabagool the Donkey, and because I couldn't remember the fucking name. And guess what? It came up pretty quick, actually.
What? What the fuck? Would that be the name, though?
I don't know. That's what I kept calling it for a while because I couldn't remember the name. But no special. Apparently, it's just the song.
Good song, though.
Great song.
Love that song. Might listen to it soon. All right, we're going to take a really quick break, and then we'll be right back with The Brain.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here we are, The Brain. Second half of the Christmas yearly, whatever the hell we're... Don't make me put in another bleep.
I mean, you named it. I don't understand why you called it that.
I didn't name it that. We're going to talk about that later. This is the movie you guys thought was going to be Terrifier 3, right? This is the one you're sure about.
This is the year we're winning.
This is the one we had the ace up our sleeve for over a year now. We've been holding on to this one.
Opening thoughts? Anybody want to go first?
I'm happy to go whenever. I'm honestly just excited that we are talking about this movie. Yeah, go first.
Yeah, this movie is not very good, but I can see why it makes you feel good. It's got good vibes to it. And like, I can see that it comes through, and they did a lot of smart things that I'm sure we'll get into shortly as far as effects and things like that. But all in all, it just wasn't enough to overcome what it was to me. And not that it has anything to do with this movie itself, to say that this is better than Terrifier 3 is craziness.
Well, we will find out when we get to the final scores.
Yeah, you can't come into this thinking, right. You know, like...
Right, like looking at this movie...
You personally have to compare it to Terrifier 3. Right. You say this a lot. You said this in our Patreon episode this week. They're different movies. They are different niches.
Yeah, but we compared last year's movie to the Patreon movie. This is a contest. And again, I understand we're discussing this movie and that, you know, that is the majority of where I'll be held. But yeah, I'm just saying,
start there. Like,
I'm just throwing that out there. That's right. It's that absurd. But yes, this movie itself, even if this wasn't happening, that's how I would feel about it. I wanted to like it. Like, I thought it was going to be another Killer Donuts for me where like, I really liked that movie. And it didn't quite get there for me. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not calling it like a piece of shit or nothing. It just was a very mid movie.
I will say I've been bracing myself for you to just like really hate this movie because we didn't need another Jack Frost incident. Ugh. But I was kind of hoping that this was going to be another every now and then. There's one of these movies that is fun that you also think is fun. I was kind of hoping for the Christmas miracle with this one because I think this movie is just a blast.
It is in certain points, but then it's not in others. And sometimes it was too much of a blast. And I was like, oh, a little bit of an overload. But Rob, what are your opening thoughts on this thing?
This movie is a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. I think you hit it, Mikey. It has that vibe. It's just the vibe of like of its time, right? It's that 80s horror movie vibe to it that I can't even really describe in any other way than that. I think that the effects are fantastic. There is one fatal flaw with this movie. And the only thing that I can really knock it for, to be honest with you, is the acting is really shitty.
Really bad.
Really bad acting. But I think every other box, this fucking movie checks. Like, it's really, I think it's a really well-made film.
Acting was really bad.
It's real bad.
I have a theory, and we've talked, I talk about it a lot on this show. I talk about it more, I think, on the Nick Heaven Wu Cage cast. But it's, if you cast actors that are of equal talent to one another, it's a lot harder to tell if anyone is bad, honestly. For the most part, the illusion kind of worked here. Like, I could tell that it wasn't good acting, but my suspension of disbelief was flat because, like, everyone is giving the same kind of performance until there's one scene that is acted somehow considerably worse than the other scenes. And honestly, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. The only acting that I give a pass to in this movie is David Gale as Dr. Blake. Because he's just over the top acting goofy, and it's not really good, but I think he's playing into that sort of character that he's supposed to be. So it kind of works for him. But everybody else is kind of like, in parts, it's like they're trying to match his energy and they don't need to. And so it doesn't work. And this is just really bad acting with really weird line reads throughout the movie. Yeah, it's not good. And it is pretty obvious pretty quick. It's not good acting.
Yeah. This thing gave me Nightmare on Elm Street vibes real hard, like from the beginning, excuse me. And in several spots, but it kind of like the acting wasn't great in Nightmare on Elm Street either. You know, the first, a lot of movies, you know, like the acting just wasn't great. And you can get away with that in the 80s, but it's got to be passable. And it's something I say it all the time. Acting is a big deal, and it doesn't have to be good, but it has to fit the movie, and it can't take me out of it. I can't notice acting's bad in a movie because that's what I'm looking at, you know, the whole time. Like, that's the main focus of a viewer, and it's hard to overcome that when it's that bad for that long.
I will say, I think that that's a fair assessment. It doesn't bother me in the brain. Like, I do think it's the weakest part of the movie. But it just, again, because everyone is giving like the same level of performance, it just, I'm okay with it. I'm having a good time. Oh,
it's consistent. That's right. That is the truth. It is consistently bad. And that, I get what you're saying, Kat. You do have a point there, but still, it's not fun.
That is kind of the thing that always takes me out of movies. I know I bring this up all the time, and longtime listeners are probably sick of hearing me talk about this one, but it works both ways. Like, if there's a bad actor in okay acting range, you know, that's going to take me out. If there's a really, really, if there's one super talented person on set, that's also going to take me out. Scream 5 being the operative example of that for me. Jenna Ortega seemed too much in pain. It didn't match the performance that everybody else gave me. But like, as long as they all act bad together, I'm not really going to care that much. And this is proof of that. This is where I got that idea from, I think.
Yeah,
it's fair.
But Scream 5 might be the best one in the franchise, Kat.
I'm not going to have that argument right now.
It's Christmas, Rob. It is Christmas.
It's Christmas, I'm just
saying,
yeah.
It might be. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it might be. Might be.
If it were, I'm also not saying it is. Probably not saying that it was.
I know, but don't feed him. Don't feed the troll.
If it were, I would still say that is one of my biggest issues with Scream 5. I would also say that Scream 5 has some other big issues that maybe make it not the best one in the franchise.
All right. Well, agree to disagree. As far as the brain goes, like, so the acting is bad. It's just across the board. It's bad acting, which is unfortunate because it is noticeable to me. And I get what you're saying, Kat. Everybody is acting like sort of at the same level of bad. So it doesn't ruin the enjoyment that I have watching the film, but I still recognize that it's bad acting.
I think we can acknowledge that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that though, like the movie, I think it hits on some interesting themes, right? Of like media and the way it manipulates you, the way you think and things like that. And it does it in an interesting way with a giant brain creature, which is awesome, you know, and as I was watching, I was actually kind of thinking about it. And it was like, you know, people used to worry about that. Like TV was going to rot your brain or it was going to, you know, turn into some sort of mind control thing. And the funny thing is while we were all looking at TV, social media has been bubbling up. And that is really the thing has really become some sort of weird mind control for people.
The concept's there. Like that might be is neck and neck with the effects and the, you know, all the concept of it. That might be my favorite part though. It's up there. Concept rock solid. Yeah. Maybe it also doesn't help too much that, you know, you're looking at a technology kind of concept in 2024, which doesn't help. Like I'm not going to ding it too hard for it, but if I'm already not thrilled at what I'm watching, you know, like that kind of doesn't help things either.
I think that's fair. And kind of to Rob's point, like I do feel like this is kind of a timeless theme. You know, like it's the fact that it's focused on TV makes it seem like kind of a hokey 80s panic movie, you know, because that's not the way that it ended up playing out. But I'm surprised at how relevant like the concept still is today. Because if you do apply it to social media, like it they're all still the same root fears, you know?
Yeah, you're right. 100%. And I think that kind of saves it in that aspect. Like I say, it's not the worst thing in the world. And, you know, it is kind of cool to see like old computer rooms and shit and, you know, that kind of laboratory setup or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not super mad at it. Like I said, if I'm already not looking though, liking what I'm looking at though, doesn't quite help.
Dude, when they had that meeting at the school and the, I don't know, like that principal guy or whatever was like, this woman has some tape she wants to show you. And she walked over to that huge box of a VCR and put the tapes in that played on that enormous, you know, TV. I was just like, oh yeah, I remember those days. But it is but it's interesting because the themes it touches on are kind of timeless, right? Like we're always worried about technology and how it's going to affect people. And I honestly don't think that's something that's ever going to go away. I mean, you know, we're all going to be dead. They're still going to be creating some sort of new technology and there's going to be everybody worrying about how it's going to affect people.
Yeah. You
know, timeless message, 1988, timeless movie.
Concept timeless. Like I say, it's outdated so hard. You know, like there's certain movies, I don't know, you guys are going to get mad, but Paranormal Activity, that videotape aspect kind of never died. You know, like it died in the sense of how they used it. But dude, people still use handheld cameras a lot. You know, so it's kind of like, is it the most traditional? No, but it still exists today. You know, none of the stuff, you know, of what we see on Zoom. Consciously, absolutely, or the message of it, sure. But I'm saying what you're looking at visually is so outdated. But again, to tie back to my other favorite thing, the effects, that kind of, I don't know, man, like they just went so well together that it kind of didn't matter. Like that creature belonged in a space like that. You know,
it like, really did.
It got saved by a lot of strange avenues for me.
Yeah. I mean, think what you want about the idea of that creature. It looks fantastic.
It does.
And I do want to talk about the special effects also. While we're making people mad, while we're throwing out hot takes, I think this has aged really, really well to the extent I think these are some of like the best 80s effects. Like there are a lot of 80s movies where I'll be like, this has incredible effects, but I'm talking about like one or two scenes. I'll fully admit that this was a more stylized creature. The effects were, I think, a little bit more outrageous, but they were super consistent across the board for me. There weren't effects in here that just like didn't work or took me out of it. And I say this all the time about lightning effects, which are the bane of my existence, but it's like there weren't any things that I kind of had to give a like loophole or a caveat to. Because that's usually the thing, right? Is that like, oh man, I really love the effect in X80 movie, except for the lightning or except for the dream sequence, or like there's always one thing that I feel like hasn't aged well. And I didn't really have that in The Brain, which is really impressive when you look at how old they went and how kind of silly the creature is, you know. Like, I think they just nailed it though.
Oh, no argument there. Absolutely. And another thing that they did very smart with the creature, and I don't, Rob, were you able to find a budget for this that you'll have?
No,
in the,
no. I checked upwards of 3 websites and there's no budget.
Wow. Wow. 3. That's a lot for Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of work for Rob.
But no, I figured it was very low, you know, is the point. And they were very smart with the tentacles coming out of the walls and things like that.
Oh yeah.
You are able to save so much money being smart enough to hide things in a way that doesn't take anything away from the movie. See a lot of shit in a lot of movies, especially low budget movies, happen off screen or anything, any part of it off screen. And we know why, but it still sucks. Like, that's what we're watching a movie for, is to not, we want to see everything because this is our fantasy world and you're taking us to it. Jurassic Park, Terminator, all these movies, granted, had a lot of money and they were able to do it. But dude, they hadn't, that was brilliant. They didn't have a lot of money and they were able to keep that creature so prevalent without showing any flaws. And that's probably why we look at it as consistently as we do with the effects, because they didn't take us out of it with something that would look bad. They were smart and had a way around it.
Right. The only gamble they did kind of take, it worked for them, I think. And that is at the end with the giant brain that we see moving around. That thing, I mean, they nailed that, and it could have looked so fucking bad. You know what I mean? Like, there's the odds of them actually getting that right seem pretty slim to me, to be honest with you. But I think they nailed it. Like, I think it looks really good.
And that was kind of so I was just in on this movie by that point. I was so delighted the first time I saw The Brain. And when I saw that big brain like barreling down at the camera, I was laughing. I was like so happy to see that they had gone that big with it. And then it's like I just kind of was prepared for disappointment to set in at some point when I realized it looked bad, and I never had that. And it's like I would have forgiven if it had looked worse, just kind of because I appreciated them taking the swing. But the fact that they could like stick that landing, I think, is crazy.
Yeah, I don't feel like that was enough to really bring it over that line for me. All that being said, I meant every word I said about all that, all the stuff, facts, concept, all those things. I'll even admit some of the problems I had with some of that stuff kind of was saved by the effects and, you know, certain decisions they made. The acting, talked about dog shit, probably the worst part of the movie. But it also, it had dry spots for me, like a lot. And if I'm already kind of up in the air in a couple of different areas, if you hit me with too many dry spots, I'm really going to lose interest in a movie quick. And the bigger moments it had after about halfway through the movie weren't enough to bring me back, is my problem.
I didn't notice any dry spots in this movie at all. Like, really? I'm not sure what you.
Like, I was really worried about the rewatch because, like Rob said, we've been sitting on this one for kind of a while, waiting for it like a chance to bring it to the Christmas. And here we are, year later. I was worried that I was going to sit down and watch it today, and it was not going to hold up because I couldn't remember like that much plot stuff happening, but I'm having a good time the whole time. Like, they get right into the action. They have a lot of psychological horror, which it's always fun to look at a movie with like a ridiculous creature in it and be like, but the psychological components. But seriously, like the psychological components, they establish really early on that like the characters are seeing different things than we're seeing. We have some really like cleanly edited shots of, especially for the time, of it alternating between, you know, reality and what the people are seeing. There's enough tension for me that like when we're not in the middle of an action sequence and when we're not seeing the creature, there's still plenty going on that I'm invested in.
Yeah, I didn't find it dull at any point or even felt like it slowed down that much. So I'm just not sure what parts of the movie you're talking about, to be honest with you.
But see, I can maybe see that word, quote, slow down. But if you're giving me nonsense, though, just because it's active nonsense doesn't make it enjoyable nonsense. That's still dry to me. Like, I didn't enjoy what I was watching, and it kind of made me look at my phone a little bit. Moments like that. That's what it had for me. And I don't know if it was the majority of the acting. They also had shit. There was one scene. I got to get it out.
Okay.
With that fucking alarm that was going off forever. And it was so loud. And it went on forever. And I never bitch about shit like this in movies. That made me mad. Because I was able to listen to it long enough to process the thought, oh, wow, this is going on for a while. And then get mad about, okay, this is going on way too long. And then they finally stop. And then they thought it would be a good idea to follow it up with police sirens mixed with this fucking alarm that is still going off. I'm like, God damn it. I don't know what it was, but that drove me crazy. I have never bitched about a sound in a movie before.
I was going to say,
the episodes we've done.
This might be, I'm not going to fall for it. It's Christmas. I've got my margaritas. I'm in a good spot. This is Mikey trying to, this is the thing I was talking about, listeners. Mikey is trying to bait me right now because you earlier brought up Paranormal Activity, which has some of the worst sound mixing ever, knowing that I would think about that fucking tea kettle from Paranormal Activity 2 that gave me the migraine. And then you're like, but the alarm went off.
I brought up Paranormal Activity.
And I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not going to get heated. I am.
You already hate Paranormal Activity. I got nothing to lose there. I brought up Paranormal Activity as far as the technology used. Yeah, but I have never bitched about that before, ever. And I don't know what it was. I didn't even remember the teapot from Paranormal. But I'm not taking away from it being there. But I just don't normally notice those things. I don't know what it was about that. And I was shocked how much it annoyed me. But no, it's not a thing I'm holding over the whole movie. It's just I need to get it out. That pissed me off real bad.
I mean, look, Paranormal Activity promises a sex tape that it doesn't deliver.
God damn it.
All right. This movie promises a giant brain and it fucking delivers. That's the difference. You see what I'm saying?
We also get to see more sexy stuff in the brain than we do in Paranormal Activity. In this movie.
Yeah. You do. Very nice titties.
Yeah. They were nice.
Oh. Yeah. That was something I meant to look up. This was kind of one of the points of contention on Twitter that we stole this Christmas pic from Joe Bob, which we did.
We did. 100%. Joe Bob showed it last year. Yeah.
But one thing I had meant to do, since I knew that was going to come up, was to get the drive-in totals, because Joe Bob always has a great way of counting titties that show up in movies. I had meant to snag that and I totally spaced it. Anyway, lots of titty footage in this one. Lots of not apples in this.
I'll see if I can find them. Hold on.
You're looking up titties while we're recording right now.
I'm not, but.
I think he meant the drive-in totals, but yeah. That would be very like Rob to just be like, hang on, I'll look them up and then it'd be titties.
Yeah, but I don't know.
The HR guy's looking up titties.
Let's see, drive-in totals.
But that was fun. And it's sort of a, just there are little things about this movie that take it from being like a very silly, fun time for me to being pretty impressive and honestly a little bit charming. We're joking about the titties, but the fact that there's like a sexy, you know, is she a nurse? Is she like the assistant?
I think she's supposed to be like a nurse.
You know, she's there. The high schoolers, you know, imagining her without a shirt, yeah, you know, but then like when the brain has evolved toward the end of the movie and he's trying to like lure him in and feed off more energy, like he's able to re-conjure the idea of the sexy nurse that he's eaten. And I think it's just kind of like a cool evolution of the brain's powers, you know, and that's the kind of thought that like in a lot of earlier creature features, we don't always see.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, like, obviously the brain gets bigger and evolves, but like, we also see it doing brain stuff, like it's working out problems, which is cool.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to, I didn't think of it that way. Like, it actually functioned. And thinking back on creature features or whatever you want to, you don't always get the giant thing doing the giant things thing. You know, it's right. kind of just the giant thing and it's sort of there. And sometimes it blows blue fire out. We don't understand why a lizard would do that, but it fucking does it. And yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. And it was very thought out. You know, like this was, it's just, I feel like this is a movie that I'm not going to sit down and watch. It kind of like with Misery. Like I showed it as much respect as I could. I'm not comparing this to as much respect as I've shown Misery, because this to me had problems scattered, but still, like, it was like, it's not a bad movie. It's just mid to me. Like, it didn't, all I acknowledge all the good shit it did. Like, I recognize it and I appreciate it, but it just, the rest of it wasn't enough. And that's kind of like what I was saying earlier. And that's just how I felt watching it. I wanted more. I don't know what I wanted more of, but I wanted more, and I wanted better acting too. That I know I want.
That's a fair cop on the acting. Like, I can't. Is it too late to horror court my mom?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, yes, you can always horror court your mom. Yeah.
Send the word in. Yeah. Yeah.
My mom watched this with me. I watched it earlier today, but in anticipation of knowing we weren't going to watch this, I made my family watch this earlier this week. And my mom referred to the main character. She was like, "Look at that Nick Cage looking guy." And I was like, "No, don't be mean to Nick Cage. Like, come on." No, and she's like, "They have the same energy." And it's like, you are talking to a Nick Cage aficionado here and you are wrong. That is, yeah. That's a mean thing to say.
No, come on, Mrs. Katz's mom. Come on.
She did not take it back, though. She stands by this. So we're fighting right now in the Valor household.
So I assume you're not speaking to your mother. It's going to be an awkward Christmas.
It's going to be a weird Christmas.
Yeah. I did find the drive-in totals for the Brain.
Oh, okay.
We have 6 breasts,
nice.
15 dead bodies, 1 dead mouse, 1 secret research facility, 1 giant brain in a vat, motor vehicle crash and burn with explosion, motor vehicle chase with cliff plunge, tentacle stabbing, spinal cord sprouting, science lab, aardvarking, elongated, aggressive brain tongue, computer screen, brain nagging, bedroom wall squeezing, multiple foot chases with gunplay, bleeding milk tanks, burger bar brain wrestling, exploding toilet, head chomping, body chewing, brain stem strangling, brain possessing sports car, scissors to the chest, chainsaw to the crotch, third floor window plunging, bleeding teddy bear, swirling makeup powder, heads roll, heads fly off with and secretes goo, gratuitous beefcake photos, scaly hands foo, super glue foo, brainwave foo, and hypodermic foo.
God damn.
I am glad we did that because I almost forgot. That fucking bleeding teddy bear looks so good. It's such a dumb thing to be like, oh, when the teddy bear bleeds, that looks really cool. But the blood looked so good.
When I started this movie and that came, and then that, because it's one of the first things in the movie.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck is this? Is this the movie I remember? Am I thinking of the wrong movie? What is happening?
Did I hear that right? Was that 15 breasts?
6 breasts.
6 breasts. Yeah, 15 dead 15. Bodies, I think.
Okay, I was going to say, we're either down or up a breast.
If you only see one, he only counts it as one.
I know, yeah. But yeah, what a tragedy. All right. What a weird scale. Anyway, and you know, like, listen to that list. There's a lot of shit going on in this fucking movie. A lot of shit. And I feel like there were points where it was too much shit going. And I don't know. That might be unfair because it, like, look at the kind of movie it is, you know?
But I don't know. Awesome?
I wouldn't call it awesome, dude. I call it good. That's it. That's all I got for it. Like, I'm sitting here right now trying to figure out what it was that was missing. Like, it was just one of those fucking movies.
I mean, I'm at a weird spot with this discussion of this movie because I didn't take very many notes because I got sucked into the movie.
Also hard to take notes. Yeah.
Which happens. I think actually we've touched on everything that I made a note of already. But I, you know, the movie, I like the feel of the movie. I think the pacing is really good. Apparently Mikey thought it was kind of slow in spots, yeah. But I just enjoyed it. Like, and the acting isn't good. We talk about that, but I do like the characters.
Yeah. And again, listen, we are called Slasher Radio. We talk about a lot of slasher movies on here. It comes up that horror movies in the past have not always been known for having the best character development. But I like that people had arcs. Like, there were emotional highs and lows. There was betrayal. I did feel like these were characters, you know? I empathized with them. I rooted for them. I could tell them all apart. And part of that is that there weren't that many characters, but, you know, still, we get points for that.
I didn't give a shit about any of them, I'm gonna be honest. I just didn't. Maybe that was part of the thing that was missing for me, man. Like, I just didn't connect with any of them. They all kind of annoyed me a little. And I don't know. But I get what you mean. Like, they're defined. Like, yes, they are. I just don't like how they're defined or what they're doing while defined. I don't know. Like, it didn't work for me. And you know what? Maybe, like I said, that was the biggest problem for me. But like, that kind of ties in to the character themselves. And I don't know. I don't quite know exactly to put my finger on it, but it's something in the character acting aspect of it that I think was the main issue. And it just, like, I just kept getting taken out of it. And I would see a lot of cool shit and I'd be like, damn, that's really fucking good. And there was a couple times where I'd be taken out of it. And I was like, oh, all right, what time is it again? And that's just kind of the experience I had watching it.
We were talking about notes. I took two notes for this movie and they're both nonsense. So I had the same experience as Rob. Like, I got sucked in. I got really sucked in. I wasn't taking notes for the most part, but I did make a note of two very important things. The first is I could watch this man run with a gun all day. I don't even feel like I have to explain that one. Say what you want about the performances, but he's very entertaining to watch him run around with the gun. The way that he holds it very unnaturally, the just like pure evil look on his face, and the way that he hunches over in what's supposed to be like these high speed chases and then just kind of like lumbers at the camera. It all worked for me. It was all very good. I know there's a lot of chase scene in this movie. Honestly, I could have done with at least like 5 minutes more watching specifically that man run around with a gun. It was fantastic.
I don't disagree. Yes, very entertaining. All of the running, even like when we're sort of at the climax of the movie in the third act, and there's like a scene where they are chasing, he's being chased, they're running down the stairs. And then some stuff happens, and then there's a scene where they're running up the stairs. And then like a few minutes later, they're running back down the stairs. It's like the same chase over and over again. I didn't care because it was entertaining.
It's so fun to watch. The other note that I took is I love that she got dressed up for a break-in, which it's one of those things where this was made in the... I would tear this movie apart if this were a movie that were made today that was just supposed to take place in the 80s, because this is my least favorite thing that they do, where it's like, oh, we're doing this serious horror movie and we're going to put everyone in really bright clothes so that you know it was the 80s. No. In this one, it works because it's like she actually like went home and was like, what's like the least conspicuous outfit that I have to wear for a break-in? And it's like a bright blue and pink number that just happens to have black leggings. And I'm like, this is amazing. I don't know why. Apparently, I thought it was worth taking a note about. And I do remember laughing about it. I think it's very silly. These are not helpful notes, but no. That's what I've got.
I have one nonsense note because you guys know I love a nonsense note.
They're great.
My note is you could get a burger, fries, and a drink for $2.99.
I fucking wish, right?
I took my kid for lunch. We got burgers, fries, and a drink. It cost us $35 a piece.
Believe it, man. I just spent yesterday. I made a decision. I'm going to spend way more money than I should on this food right now. And I did. You know what? It was worth it.
While we're on the diner scene, I didn't make a note of this, but it was something every now and then, not all the time, because, you know, it wasn't great acting. I'm not going to make that case, but sometimes the bad acting did work in its favor. There's a scene that I really like in the diner with the cop, and he's like, you know, did your boyfriend come by? And she's like, no. Haven't seen him. And then there's like all the ominous shaking and screaming from the stock room. And the other kid steps up and he's like, that's our new stock boy, knocks everything over. And they just have this, it's too long. They have this one close-up of the cop's face as he's watching, and there's just all this screaming going on in the back. And because of the performances in this movie, you genuinely can't tell if he's going to go investigate or let this go. And I just thought that was beautiful. I really liked it.
Here's my last note that I have, and it's my biggest bone to pick. This did not feel like a Christmas horror movie.
What are you talking about? There's Christmas music playing on the radio. We see Christmas decorations throughout.
I think and I still maybe didn't feel it. That's why I like it. For a long time, I was one of those people that would watch Die Hard every Christmas because I was really tired of like normal Christmas movies. And it was nice to watch like an action flick that happened to be, you know, in the realm of Christmas movies. The Brain is my horror equivalent of that, right? Like, it's not super down your throat. I feel like I'm just watching like a fun, you know, 80s monster movie for the most part. But there's like enough there. I feel refreshed, but I also feel Christmassy. It's a perfect balance.
You definitely know it's Christmas in the movie.
Yeah, you know, but it doesn't feel like a Christmas horror movie at all.
Like, I don't need everything to feel like a Christmas horror movie. Right. You know?
I mean, what do you want the Brain to be wearing a Santa Claus hat? I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's just they go way over the top with that stuff sometimes. You don't really all need all that. And
what if you give them some Christmas tree glasses?
That's another thing that our friend Tim Davis is wrong about. He swears Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie. And it's like, come on, Tim. Of course it's a Christmas movie.
Not only is it a Christmas movie, I was reading a thing on Twitter. Bruce Willis goes back to his old town to make amends with his ex-wife over the holidays. It is a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yep. It's still the only reason I'm not saying all holiday movies or, you know, even winter movies in general, it needs to be shoved down your throat or nothing. But this is for a Christmas contest thing.
First of all, we're going to go Christmas. For a Christmas contest.
And that's interesting more you like guys a Christmas a contest.
I mean, I don't know why you got to do this to me. I forgot another bleep last week.
I know. And it was yours, too. That's the funny thing.
Damn. What a chain of events. All right.
And also, like, this one has more Christmas stuff in it than that one. Like, we've got the Christmas carols on the radio. We've got the decorations. There's that really cool shot of the weird, creepy Santa outside of the house in the cold open.
Yeah, that Santa's taking up, like, the entire side of a two-story house, Mikey. Come on.
But it still didn't feel like it, man. Like, the vibes weren't there at all whatsoever. And I don't know. Okay. Like, that... I wanted more from a Christmas contest movie. That's all I'm saying. I was like, damn, man. I thought, because those are kind of nice too, you know, at the same time. Like, I like it. I don't want all of them to be that way, but it's nice when you get, that's why I like Better Watch Out. You know, like, there's something cozy about a Christmas movie, man.
Yeah. And I mean, you're not wrong. There's something about it. I mean, that's what's so appealing about Santa Slay starring WWE Superstar Bill Goldberg.
God damn it.
One thing we didn't talk about, though. We talked about it sort of being like a technology horror movie, but it's also like a medical horror movie, right? Because you go to these doctors, you don't know what they're doing, especially like some experimental weird, psychologist doctor in the 80s. What the hell are they going to do?
Again, it's very much a movie like that's a very timeless fear that translates really well, I think, to modern times, while also being very unafraid to be of its time. We have a lot of slashers that take place during this time where they just have psychologists coming out and saying anything and, you know, tossing pills at teenagers. And this was, I like that this one kind of examined some of the very real fear that underlies that. And it's, I love talking about this movie so much. I loved watching this today. It's so fun to try and like, there are all of these serious elements and things that it does critically, I think, very well. It's a little bit funny to talk about it because we also have a sequence where Brain opens up and eats a woman whole. Yes. And it's like, I love that we can have both, you know, like,
yeah.
It works.
The kills didn't look that great either. And that's usually the problem with a creature feature, you know, in one way or another. So that kind of was.
I mean, come on, the Brain ate people, dude. That's pretty cool.
Conceptually, sure. But I'm saying how it looked left to be desired.
Yeah, that looked fine. Like, all this stuff was done practically. That's amazing.
movies that have come out in like the last decade where creatures eat people that have not looked as good as The Brain, and I'll die on that hill.
Yeah, but those are really bad movies, though. Yeah, I'm not saying it's the worst ever, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the kills weren't great. And I acknowledge it's hard, especially a movie with not a lot of money and a creature feature. But I have to go about what I look at, man. Like, that was a kind of a letdown. I was like, damn, Long Porch. All right. Anything else we want to hit? We're ready to get into reviews and all that stuff.
I am.
Hell of a deal.
Rob is being suspiciously quiet.
I said a long time ago I was out of notes. So, yeah, okay.
Whatever. All right. I have terrible news, guys. There is no official tomato meter for The Brain. There were not even enough critics to give an average. There are four reviews, four critic reviews for The Brain. So we just have that little blank tomato. We do, however, have a popcorn meter at a crushingly low 34%.
What?
Imagine.
I was really disappointed with Rotten Tomatoes today. It has this at a 5.2 out of 10, though. So there's that. I guess. Okay, so I have three reviews that I pulled. All of the Letterboxd reviews that I found today were kind of nondescript, so we're hopping back to IMDb for the day. These are all pretty short. The best review title award goes to this one, 3 out of 10, Oh Canada.
All right. It's Canadian as fuck.
Oh Canada. Canada
or no Canada?
I hate that.
It's going to have to come back. Check out the Patreon for that.
And I wasn't going to read this because I pulled it for the review title. I was not going to read the review, but it takes kind of one of those meth turns at the end. I feel like I have to. Another horror flick in which a goofball teenager battles a madman and a supernatural sidekick who want to take over. Yes, but the fact that this one was from Canada gives it a slightly different feel. The Brain has troublesome teenager Jim Majelski getting put into I don't think that's spelled right, but we're going to let it go. Getting put into a treatment whose leader turns out to be a cult leader aided by the big ugly Brain. Can Jim stop him? I guess that since our northern neighbor has accomplished all that they have accomplished, they're entitled to make at least one ridiculous horror movie. But still, they'll probably want to be known for having national health care and all. The bad guy had a brain. Why didn't the people who made this movie?
Damn.
And we know I love The Brain, but that's
it's funny.
Funny roast.
Funny's funny.
Yeah. I
mean, it's not all that off.
Okay. And then we have 10 out of 10. This was the one 10 out of 10 review that I found on IMDb for The Brain. This movie .. It has everything. Nudity, violence, a giant brain that eats people. If only we knew who operated the eyes, and if the brain skirt appearing towards the end was actually intended to hide the wheels that made the evil brain kill, if only. It tells of mind control attempts and the horrors of the teen years. We still wonder, will there ever be a sequel? I feel we were set up in the end, and I want the sequel. See what mysterious haunts the brain travels to next.
Interesting. I didn't think of a sequel until just now, and now I also want the sequel.
Dude, I wouldn't be mad, honestly. If you put some money behind it and really did something with it and made it look good, and 100%.
See, I think that's that they would do all that and ruin it. Good. I want the sequel made exactly like this one.
I don't know if that works now, man.
Yeah, that was kind of why I pulled that one, that and the 10-star rating. But I also had not thought about it getting a sequel. I'm very much on the no sequels bandwagon for the most part. I would watch like 8 more of these movies. I love this so much.
Here's what you do. You get Ty West. You tell him the feel you're going for. You show him The Brain. You tell him to make a sequel. He'll replicate the damn thing.
Just only let him make 2, because if he makes a third one, it'll go a little wonky. We learned. Okay. And then our last review, 4 out of 10. Wannabe Videodrome meets .. Critters, I guess.
What?
Low budget schlock. Your mileage will vary, as this isn't so bad it's good enough to really stand out, but there are a few corny laughs and the puppet looks so much like a mad ball that I guess you can't really go wrong.
It does look like a mad ball.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. All right. Do we have facts and trivia?
There's not much in the way of facts and trivia for this movie. First of all, I could not find a budget anywhere. It didn't get a box office release. It was straight to video. So we have none of that information. I can tell you that there is no Danza in this movie, sadly.
God damn it.
Which honestly, I was kind of surprised by that because this seems like the kind of movie that would have a Danza in it, but it didn't. One note I did write down, it was a Canadian film, but we already talked about that. The only thing that I did have that was kind of interesting was that the movie was released on video cassette and Laserdisc in 1989. And then it was officially released on DVD, but only in the UK in 2011, and it has gone out of print until the heroes at Scream Factory stepped up and they gave this a Blu-ray release in 2019.
Yeah.
So it was lost there for a while.
Scream Factory.
The Scream Factory, they know what they're doing. They got their shit together.
That's true. Yeah, good for them on that one, honestly.
Yeah. So, but that's it. That's all we've got for trivia. There was nothing.
Scoring it. I kind of have my score locked in.
All right, but I feel like you're the outlier here.
I don't think I am.
Mike is like, Cat's the outlier.
I gave it like a fucking 9-something. However you want to do it, Rob.
I feel like you got to go last. I do. I feel right. Like it.
Do you want to go first then, Rob? I have it down between two numbers.
Okay. So yeah. Yeah. I'll go first. I like pretty much everything about this movie. I like that it has a story that I think is interesting. I mean, it's on the surface, it's a dumb B movie story, right? It's about a giant brain. But underneath that, there are interesting topics that are being explored, whether intentionally or not, in this movie. I think the practical effects look absolutely fantastic. I didn't mention this when we were talking about, but there's not a ton of score really in this movie, but the little pieces that I noticed, I actually really kind of like the score too. The movie really loses points for the acting, which is just bad, but there's not a lot of negative stuff to say about the brain. Honestly, I think the question I had for myself was, should this movie or not be approved or not? And the answer is yes. I give it a 7.7.
7.7. That's a little high. What you got?
So I went 7.7 all over the place.
Robbie said 7.7?
Yeah, he said 7.7.
Okay. 7.7.
I thought it was 7.5 for some reason.
So the thing about this, I was all over the place on this one today because it's like I wanted to give it a really high score just kind of because I thought it would be funny, to be honest. And then, you know, there were a couple things. The acting, I guess there was the one thing. The acting kind of lowered my score for the movie. Everything else held up so well. And I was like, I was trying to wrangle it down to, I had a similar thought process where it's like, honestly, when I'm looking at it, when we're not doing a bit, when we're not doing a contest, should this be slasher radio approved? I was thinking of giving it somewhere in the 7 range. By the time I got to the end of this movie, I was just so happy. Like, and we talk about this with some of the other ones, you know, where it's like, this was really critically good, but I don't think I'd ever want to watch it. You know, I always want to watch this. It's honestly kind of amazing. I went a year without watching it because I felt that way when I saw it the first time. I felt that way again today. I was really happy to talk about it, even knowing that it might get, you know, like critically slammed. I had to bring the points back up after that because it's just like, it makes me so ridiculously happy. I'm going with the higher of my two numbers. They were 0.1 apart, and that leaves this at an 8.4.
Jesus Christ, Kat.
I know. It makes me happy. I love this movie.
All right. Dude, I'm trying. I'm truly trying to find fucking ways to make it. I'm trying to misery this thing the best that I can. But this is not misery. You know, like it's just not. And granted, they did a lot of other things very well. I don't feel like they did a lot of things. They were good at a lot of things. They were bad at a lot of things. And they were great, other than the effects. The effects they were great at, but there was nothing else really that I can call great. So you mix a lot of good and a lot of bad. To me, you get a lot of mid. But it just wasn't. I'm trying to get the effects to drag it as much as I can, but I got to go. Around what was the first? Rotten Tomatoes had it at a 3.9. That's the best I can do.
Mikey.
I didn't like the movie, man.
Shame on you.
That is rough.
That's the best I could do. That is the absolute best I can do.
I do appreciate you trying to be fair to it. I feel like that's rough. I feel like a mid movie should be around a 5, but I respect a little bit to the best of my ability. And I do appreciate you trying to be fair to it for Christmas.
I've tried to. Nice. Man. I don't feel it should be a 4 is the thing. And I was sitting at a 3.7. I'll have you know.
So much for a Christmas miracle.
What, that I would love this thing? Come on, you had to know.
We're all going to come together on this one.
You had to know. But I can appreciate all the things they did, man. My problem is giving it a 4. And I'll sit at that threshold a lot. You know, like I'll purposely not give things that 0.1 because it means something. And I cannot go above. I can't go 4. I just can't do it. But yeah, I was sitting at 3.7. But man, it is hard to achieve the effects that they achieved in this movie. And they were smart about it. One could argue there wasn't a ton of effects to be that, to make it, you know, that good, you know, put it at the level of the effects that we're talking about it as. And that might be true, but being smart enough to work around what you have is also part of effects. That's part of special effects. And they did that. And I love when movies do that, man. Instead of trying to force something and making it look wacky and all that, you have to do it this way to make it work. Because sometimes you'll remember how many times we talk about a movie, man, and it's like, oh, you know, the effects were inconsistent. Terrifier, too. Perfect example.
Terrifier, too.
You know, well, me and Kat love that movie. Rob does. A lot of people, it's a beloved movie is the point. They put a lot of stuff on screen that wasn't up to par with, you know, their higher tier stuff. That could have easily been said about this movie. They were smart enough to avoid it.
And Mikey, I appreciate you bringing that up because we talk a lot about special effects and how they look. And I always look at how they're cut together in the film. But you're right, like working around your limitations is a very underrated portion of special effects. And that's an area where the brain does really shine, I think.
Watching Face Off is a great like way to kind of, you know, a lot of behind the scenes stuff on DVD extras and stuff. And, you know, those kind of things are good ways to see these things, too. But Face Off was really good because the ghetto bullshit they will throw together to make something work. You know, like you just have to be part of special effects is 100% being resourceful and just making shit work.
That's what I kind of thought for a minute you meant the Nick Cage movie. I'm not going to lie. But yes. Oh, God, no.
But
I was like, what do you know about Face Off that Rob and I don't know?
I haven't seen Face Off in a long time.
Awesome.
All right. I tried to be like, Rob, come on. That's not that bad. Killer Brain movie. That's not that bad for me.
I mean, look, what are you going to do? Mikey's going to Mikey. I mean,
you had to know. Happen.
That was a pretty fair Mikeyism, though.
You had to know. I also feel we did not beat the patrons. Like, there's no way this movie is better than Terrifier 3.
We got to see the scores. What's the score?
Yeah, let's look at some scores.
This beats Terrifier 3 by 0.1. Terrifier 3 was 6.6. This is 6.7.
Are you serious? Yes, we did it, guys.
No, we didn't. This movie is not better.
We beat the patrons. We won the Christmas contest.
You guys are going to start a revolution, is what you're going to do.
I wish we had done this episode before we talked to David Howard Thornton. I would have asked him point blank if the brain was better than Terrifier.
He would have told you no. Yeah, no, there's going to be, they're going to revolt.
We are the big winners. And you know what?
No, we're not.
Leave it to the patrons killed the bit.
Oh. As promised to IR Chris, I said that I would concede my role in the, I want it on record on the podcast as well as on Twitter because Twitter could die. And I want there to be just like ample record of this. I pointed out that Rob was the one that nominated the brain. He was the one that chose this. I advocated very heavily for it because I love this movie, but I did say that I would concede my part of the victory here to Joe Bob. We've got Joe Bob to thank for showing us this movie.
Joe Bob.
He shamelessly stole this. It's a slasher radio victory for Joe Bob, really, at the end of the day. But this wasn't about the victory for me. I got to watch The Brain today. I'm a winner.
Yeah, look, I had never seen this movie until last year when Joe Bob showed it. All right. I'd never even heard of The Brain until Joe Bob showed it last year. So, yes, of course he gets credit, but we picked it. We win. you know, the
not
patrons,
win.
They could have won. All they had to do was pick Santa Slay starring WWE superstar Bill Goldberg. Instead, they went with Terrifier 3. And now look, you're a bunch of losers.
God damn it. There's no, there is no way that you could. I don't understand. This is the Patreon thing all over again with fucking Jack Frost. It's not a better movie.
Numbers don't lie, Mikey. Look at the numbers. Clearly, it's a better movie.
It's not a better movie. No.
And the fact that it's not Slasher Radio approved, that's on you.
It shouldn't be. No. Yeah. This should not be
Slasher Radio approved.
This absolutely should be Slasher Radio approved. It's the first time we've ever won the Christmas. It should be Slasher Radio approved.
We didn't win. This is not better than Terrifier 3. There's no fucking way.
So if I had gone with my lower score, like I said, they were 0.1 off. If I had given this a 0.3, would we have tied?
Let me see.
I'm not a math person. I don't know how averages work.
Yeah, it would have tied.
Wow.
And if I would have given it a 3.7, it would have tied also. Oh, shit. What did I give it? 3.9.
Incredible.
Yeah, it would have tied also.
Absolutely incredible. Good job to the brain. Thank you, Joe Bob. And Merry Christmas.
It's a win for the brain. It's a win for the Joe Bob. It's a win for us. Look at that. The only losers here are the patrons.
I refuse to acknowledge this as a victory. This movie is far from par with Terrifier 3.
Numbers don't lie, Mikey.
I want to throw this out here as well, because the other part of the thing that I promised IR Chris was that I would concede my part of the victory to Joe Bob if this movie won. And the other thing was that I make no promises for what Rob would do. Rob chose to taunt you. That's not.
And I chose to instigate you. Chris, I would start a revolution. Revolt over this. This is bullshit, man. Terrifier 3.
Chris is the one who nominated Terrifier 3 too. Yeah. So really, we really smacked Chris's ass in this whole thing.
Listen, and I say this knowing that I've got a punishment pick coming up. It was worth it. I got to watch the brain.
I'll tell you right now, Rob, from glancing through Twitter today, I did not get a chance to look at all of the goings on, but from the glances that I did take, you're kind of sort of seeming in the clear right now in this whole Chris pick thing. You're not doing yourself any favors. You're really, really banking on that Hall of Fame thing, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Look, I stepped up. I said I would take the bullet. The Hall of Fame is going to be done by the time next year rolls around and we get into the whole thing. I said I would take the bullet, and I meant it. I'm taking the bullet. But, you know, if I'm going to take the bullet, I'm going to get my money's worth.
Chris, just to put this in your membrane real quick. What if you do go with Kat for your target of pain, but Rob still doesn't give you the award? Like, what happens then is the question.
Listen, I volunteered to take the first shot. Rob's going to take the last shot, and it is what it is.
Oh, but I'm just saying, like, what world would it be? What will the world look like if that's what happens? You know?
Well, we know that if he doesn't get the Hall of Fame this year, it's become a bit, and
I know
that's the worst scenario for everybody.
I also want to apologize.
It's all out of my hands. I don't have anything to do with it.
To you, Mikey, because I was just telling Mr. Cat's boyfriend that I had like the perfect movie for us to watch for my next pick. I've been thinking about things that are timely and would make interesting conversations and that have like big titles that would draw in listens. And I really thought I had the perfect one. And then I gave my next pick to Chris. So we'll see. But I do apologize. I'm thinking about it.
I'm rather curious to know what that pick is now.
We can talk about it off air.
All right.
We're just handing out picks to listeners now. What the hell is going on?
I'm not handing out nothing. Nobody's getting my pick.
I'm trying to end violence here, Mikey.
Doesn't seem like it. All right. Patreon.com.
What? Earlier today, I was instigating violence, but I walked it back for Christmas, Christmas, knowing that I very well might lose tonight.
Right. I mean, I'm not instigating violence. I'm just pointing out facts. We whooped that patron ass.
No, I stand on the side of the patrons. I think I did last year, too. Let me see something real quick.
Well, last year they won. This year, we are the victors.
I just want to see something real quick.
I'm proud of us because we got to watch the brain.
And we knew they weren't going to beat the brain. I mean,
last year, the score for the mean one, I mean, we had got a B movie score as well, but it was a 3.7 and a 3.9.
Oh, that's pretty close.
I don't think that was their pick last year. Didn't they pick Inside last year?
Was that last year? No, they chose Jack Frost 2 last year.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't know how anything
You guys
works.
Know I don't remember. I just know that they won every year until this year.
We broke that streak.
For an entire year, we can gloat about it.
We had either the apology
in January
or Antichrist.
We had the apology because it was new and I was like, this will be fun to talk about. And then you guys hated it.
Yeah, but it got a 5.2 and the mean one got a 3.7.
Did we win last year too?
I don't think we ever had the score. Just see, we're going to catch a lot of shit from this, especially from Chris. He pays attention to fucking everything.
What did you guys choose last year, patrons? We're drunk and spreadsheets are hard.
Oh, they definitely chose the mean one. The mean one was their pick because after that was Antichrist and you guys were buttholes to the strangers. But anyway.
I feel like I was fair to the strangers.
Well, Antichrist wasn't a Christmas pick.
That's what I'm saying. That was over. It was the apology and then the mean one. You guys really gave shithole scores to the mean one. I can't get over that. Holy David Howard Thornton. That's crazy.
Bad movie.
Yeah, the mean one wasn't so good, Mikey.
Yeah, I'm standing with the patrons. I stood with them last year. I'm standing with them again this year. They won this one. I don't know what the hell we gave the apology a fucking 5 for.
The apology's good.
I don't even remember the apology.
But it's
just the girl in the cabin.
Fine.
All right. Well, patrons, I'm sure we'll hear about this one. Remember to comment on Patreon if you want to be included in the mailbag. You can also leave text messages and voicemails. Not that that's caught on tremendously. But yeah, next week, David Howard Thornton. So we'll be talking more Terrifier stuff. And after that, we're starting to, that episode is going to be a new year. So let me pull out handy dandy calendar real quick. This will be the last time we talk to these guys before the new year. So happy new year. Merry Christmas. All that good stuff. David Howard Thornton, January 2nd. That episode
Maybe
will drop.
We should try to interview somebody involved with the brain since that movie won.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Movie didn't win. I stand with the patrons.
It did win. Spreadsheets are hard, but math doesn't lie usually, except for sometimes when Rob does it.
The apology won last year too, then. And that movie didn't win shit. It was so bad.
Did we pick the apology? I don't even know.
I picked the apology because it was new. I thought it was going to be a fun thing.
Oh yeah. I don't remember it. I'm 90% certain I'd never even seen that movie. So
I think it was fine.
You gave it a 3.3.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Anyway, patreon.com/radio to get involved with all that nonsense. And next month we will have another Patreon pick. So you guys will be able to pick the movie that we watch. We have no say so in the matter. God help us. We have some cool stuff. We have the Slashies coming up soon. We promised Darth Gregor to come on for another hot take episode. I don't know why we do that to ourselves, but we got a lot of stuff happening. So sign up for the Patreon, $3 a month for the lowest tier. And follow us on YouTube, TikTok, Blue Sky, Twitter. And that's probably it, @Slasher Radio. I'm at Mikey's Dead.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Radio Rob 123. You can listen to the other show that I do with Kat, the Nick fucking Woo Cagecast. That is Nick effing Woo Cagecast in your podcast player. And we just released our episode on Rage. And coming up, we have an episode on a movie with another really generic title that I can't remember. I think it's called Outcast.
Outcast, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I talk to you about that Rage episode for a minute?
I don't know what
we
you
plugged the
talk
show.
It was a good time. Yeah.
The show was a good time. Yeah. It was a good episode.
Made sure we plugged /radio at the end like we always do.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. I listened to that Rage episode. It was really good. Yeah. Except for the part at the end where you guys said I named the yearly Christmas thing. I didn't do that. And you know, we even talked about it on the show last week that I didn't do it.
It was real disrespectful.
Did you not do that?
It's Jesus's birthday and you're making a mockery of it.
I hate it here. Kat, where can they find you?
You can find me.
Stop slandering me. I'm sorry, Kat, but stop slandering me on that day. I'm going to talk to lawyers. You're not playing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Kat. Proceed.
You can find me on Blue Sky and Instagram at Kat Velour, CatVolur. You can also check out my website, catvelour.com. I've got books for sale, Tasteful, a literary cannibal anthology. All of the proceeds are going to Phil Abundance. So check that out. It's available on Amazon.
Hell of a deal. All right, guys. Good night from Slasher Radio. Holy shit.
Can you believe we won this, guys?
I'm so proud of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Win those.
When do we get our trophies?
What a terrible showing.
All the best with Slasher Radio Podcast.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.